would you turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 4? I had planned on just doing the last five verses, but then as I started to study, you get the whole chapter. So be listening. The first word in this is here. So that kind of gives us some instruction right away. Amen. So let's pray. Ask God to give us ears to hear. Father, we thank you. And Lord, as we sang that last song, may we apply that to our lives, and especially right now as you speak to us. May we have ears to hear what the Spirit says this morning. And give us that instruction that we need, the knowledge we need, the wisdom to apply it. Lord, very important that we hear from you. Empty me, Lord, fill me with what you want to say as I've prepared and I have notes. But Lord, fill in all the gaps, add and take away. Have your way with us this morning. Open up our hearts to receive the truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the name of this sermon is The Instruction of a Father. And the first verse is, to hear, my children, the instruction of a father. What better way to start out? And I'm going to give you a little history of Proverbs. I've never actually taught out of this. I mean, I've used scriptures out of Proverbs, but never taught a whole chapter like this. So it was new to me, but what a blessing it was to study this and now to teach it. But in general, the book of Proverbs is an excellent collection of wise sayings and instructions for living a useful and effective life. Known as wisdom literature, Proverbs is characterized by short and concise statements. Unlike Ecclesiastes or Job, where they're a little lengthy and longer, but similar instructions. The key word in Proverbs is wisdom, which is the ability to live a godly life in an ungodly world. I'll say that again. To me, the key word in this, in the book of Proverbs, is wisdom. As Solomon teaches this, as we'll see in this chapter, I mean, everywhere you go in this book, it's all about listen to my instructions, get wisdom, get understanding. But it's the ability to live a godly life in an ungodly world. And I can't think, I mean, this world is becoming more ungodly as we speak. I heard a statistic a few days ago that 30,000 people died last year of heroin overdose. Did anybody get that same statistic? I mean, did I just hear that right? And heroin's back on the rise. Very strong addiction. I don't know anything about it, but I've known people that have been addicted to it, and it's very powerful. We live in this ungodly world, and it's getting worse and worse again as the day goes by. To know and understand God's word is the first step. And the second step is the wisdom to apply it in our daily lives. Now, wisdom is the application of the knowledge and understanding of God's word, of the scriptures. That's why we always pray before we teach. We pray before, you should be praying before you study God's word, before you do a devotion. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Because when you read or hear God's word, it helps you to know and understand it, but you have to have wisdom to apply it. A lot of people know God's word. They even understand it. But if you don't apply it with wisdom, what good is it to you? It's all knowledge. It's all head knowledge. You got to get it from your head into your heart, your innermost being. And use the wisdom to apply it in your life. So when you read or hear God's word, it's important to pray that the Holy Spirit would teach you to help you know and understand it and wisdom to apply it in your life and in the lives of others. Key verses, chapter 1, verse 7, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I love that verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So with that, we need to have a healthy fear of God in our lives. And for the believer, that fear is a reverence and awe of God. For the unbeliever, it's the fear of God, the fear of God is the fear of judgment and eternal death. That's what the unbeliever has to look forward to. That's the fear that comes upon them. But we don't have that fear, do we? And for references in that, we don't have time for that, but for a reference, you can see Luke 12, verse 5, Hebrews 10, 31, and Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. But the believer's fear is reverence and awe of God. And what happened to the nation of Judah in Jeremiah chapter 2 was that they had lost that fear of God in their life. That's why they were backsliding. That's why they started following idols and getting into all weird things. Israel was the same way. It was when Jeremiah was called to the nation of Judah when they were split into two nations. And in chapter 2 it says, the reason why you're backsliding and the reason why you are the way you are is because the fear of me is not in you anymore. We don't ever want to get there. Amen? I mean, you got to have a healthy fear of God in your life. It's important. And Proverbs teaches us that. Solomon, the principal author of Proverbs, gives us God's detailed instructions on how to deal successfully with the practical affairs of everyday life, how to relate to God, people, co-workers, families, parents, children, and government, etc. The list goes on. You can find everything, how to deal with people and government and just all the issues of life are right in this book. From common sense to divine perspectives, God has provided for us what is necessary, in other words, His Word, to guide us through life and to handle life's issues. And on your own, I want you to read the first chapter, the first seven verses of chapter 1 of Proverbs, because it's going to give you the purpose and the introduction of this book, all right? You got some homework to do. So let's go to chapter 4, and let's read the first 13 verses. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. If you like to highlight your Bible, highlight that one. Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of my life and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Another verse, highly recommended for you to highlight. Keep her, for she is your life. This is a father to his children, just like our Father is teaching us right now in these verses. Solomon is saying, pay attention to my instructions, son. The same instructions my father, King David, gave to me. And we need to pass that on. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, keep it, and don't ever let it slip away. The first four verses, actually not all of verse 4, but 1 through 4a, is about acquiring wisdom. We see here the teaching is traditional. For I give you good doctrine, I give you good teaching, son, daughter. It's not just a set aside for sons, it's all your kids. So we know it's traditional here. Teaching is traditional, passed down from parents to children. Personal experiences. So the home continues to be the prominent arena of learning of life's lessons. As parents, we need to train up our children in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. Irene and I have held on to that verse all of our life. We're still asking God to bring our oldest back home. You could pray for that. He's not out there being the prodigal. He loves God, but he's just, you know, not where I'd like him to be, or my wife, but he's very responsible. He knows the Lord. So it's not like a scary thing, but it's not like he's out disowning God or saying he doesn't believe anymore, because I know he does and he's saved. But you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying as a parent. You just want them to be walking with the Lord. But personal experiences are really important, because we shared with our kids all of our personal experiences. And it speaks volumes. They're priceless, how you train up your child. And, you know, they don't always listen, we know. They have to go out and kind of taste the world and see how it is. And, wow, Dad, you were right. And I've had all three of my kids come back to us and say that. That's a blessing. Wow, you were completely right on that one, or that one, and that one. How'd you know? Hey, kids, when they're 18, in their teenage years, even in their early 20s, they don't know anything. Come on. Did you? Did I? No. Mm-mm. I thought my parents were crazy. I got this. Leave me alone. Little did I know, right? Personal experience is really important, though. Verse 4, let your heart retain my words. Here, the meaning of your heart and its moral significance in the Old Testament includes the emotions, the reason, the will, the mind, the inner being of a person, inner core of a person. This is the Vine's expository dictionary definition of it. It's verbatim. It includes your emotions, your reasoning, the will, the mind, everything about you. The latter part of, we're going to look at some benefits now of acquiring wisdom. And the first one is really at the last part of verse 4, where it says, the first benefit is keep my commands and live. So we have this instruction, these first four verses, verse 1 through 4a, about acquiring this wisdom that Solomon is trying to teach his son. And that God's teaching us right now. But then there's also benefits of acquiring this wisdom. And the first one is keep my commands and what? And live. That's the first benefit. It means experiencing life with all its blessings because you're obeying God's commandments. And it's so true. When you're obedient to God and you're following Him, He will bless you. It's a given. And our youngest son has experienced that. He was out there in the world. And his testimony is pretty wild and crazy, but you know what? It doesn't matter anymore, because if that's what it took for him to come full circle and come back and be on fire for Jesus, I don't care. And he's obeying God now. He's serving the Lord, he and his wife. And God's just been pouring blessing upon them. And he knows, because he surrendered. He said, Dad, I'm tired of playing this game. I'm ready to know God. I'm home. I'm come back home. Amen. And it's just a blessing to see him. He's back on the worship team at his church. Sadi, his wife, works in the children's ministry. He's helping in the youth ministry. God's put in his heart to start teaching his word. He's going to start a Bible study and teach God's word. I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's like I died and went to heaven. You know, it's just... Irene and I are just so blessed to see what happens when obedience comes into the factor in a person's life. And it's just awesome. And seeing Sarah following the Lord and getting married and God blessing Caleb and Sarah's life. We're getting ready to have our first grandson with Brian and Sadie. They're pregnant. And so that's going to be a blessing, another blessing. It's just... There's a blessing when you're obedient to God's commands. Keep my commands and live. The second benefit in verses 5 and 6, Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. She will preserve you and keep you. Wisdom is security. That's what it's saying here, right? When you have God's wisdom, it's like a security blanket wrapped around you. She will protect you and watch over you. Her wisdom is personified here as a woman. I like that. A virtuous woman, like a bride that is to be loved and embraced, like my wife. When I thought of this, the first person I thought of was Irene. Because she's my bride, and I love her, and I embrace her. And wisdom is to be the same. And I love how it's personified here as a woman. Wisdom is like your bride, and you need to embrace your bride. It's just like Jesus embracing us, because we're the bride of Christ. Wisdom is security. Verses 7 through 9, the third and fourth benefits. Embracing wisdom will bring promotion and honor, it says here in verses 7 through 9. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. She'll exalt you. She'll promote you. She'll bring you honor when you embrace her. Embracing wisdom will bring promotion and honor, like a wreath on your head, a crown of glory, an ornament of grace. I think of receiving a reward for doing something good or a sporting event. You look at the Olympics when they stand on the platform, they get the gold or silver or bronze medal. It's like being rewarded for embracing wisdom. God you'll have that crown of glory and an ornament of grace as grace be upon us. In verse 10 is the fifth benefit. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. And the years of your life will be many. Now listen carefully to my instructions on life, he says here, on wisdom, so that the years of your life may be extended. I don't know how God does that, but he just does that. That's a promise here. Blessings of his grace, of his mercy, that you can not only receive from him, but give to others. As God continues to extend your life with him, we need to extend it with each other and use wisdom accordingly. Verses 11 and 12, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. Another benefit. And when you run, you will not stumble. This is the sixth and seventh benefits. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Living according to God's wisdom is like walking or running on a safe road, on a safe course. When following God's word, his understanding, his wisdom, what can impede your progress? It says here that nothing can. And there's a lot of things that impede our progress as Christians in this world we live in. Again, we live in an ungodly world, and there's a lot of things that can impede our progress in following Christ. There's a lot of distractions, a lot of temptations, and we'll look at some of those scriptures in just a minute. But when you're following his word and you've received this knowledge and understanding, then you apply it to your lives, it's like walking and running with him is safe ground. A safe course to be on. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Paul's exhorting the church here at Philippi to pursue their Christian progress now that they have salvation in Christ. It doesn't mean that they're working for their salvation, but making salvation operational. Your own salvation needs to be demonstrated. with a holy fear of God that trembles at the thought of sin, which is the attitude presented here in verse 12. To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with that reverence towards God. Making salvation operational. I'll read this again. Your own salvation needs to be demonstrated. What are you doing now that you're saved? What are you doing with it? This is what he's actually saying. It needs to be demonstrated with a holy fear of God that trembles at the thought of sin. Turn away from it. Don't follow it. And this is the attitude that's presented here in verse 12. You will progress in your relationship with the Lord and others when you walk and run in His Word. This is all, it's right here, brothers and sisters, right here in God's Word. And the book of Proverbs is full of instruction and direction that we need to go in. When you walk and run in His Word, His understanding, His wisdom, you will not be hindered and you will not stumble. That's a promise. But it's conditional. You got to follow what His Word says. You got to follow Jesus. You got to keep, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of the shortest verses in the Bible. Do you love Jesus? Do we love Jesus? Amen. Well, then follow what His Word says. And you will not be hindered and you will not stumble. Verse 13, those were the seven benefits. Verse 13 says, take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Bless you. Take firm hold of instruction and don't let go. Keep her. She is your life. Take firm hold of it and don't let go as you would a child's hand crossing the street or the way they hold onto your hand. And I use this example because I walk kids over to the Jefferson 4 days a week. And I walked my kids across the street when they were little and taught them how to look all the directions before you cross the street. And they hold onto your hand. I hold on real tight. They hold on real tight. And they don't let go. Sometimes I'll get across the street and they're still holding on to my hand. It's really cool. This one little guy named Jasper, he's like 4. And his parents are separated. His dad lives in Arizona. And it's funny because he just, you know, they just want love. They want a companion. They want to be, you know. It's funny. We'll get over there and we stand in line and he sees all the other. Some, at first, he had to get kind of warm. You know, I tried to always not talk to him too much because he doesn't like to talk too much. But I'm always asking him questions to get him to, you know, to break that ice a little bit. And it's funny now, we get in line, and he used to kind of just stand at a distance because he didn't know me. And one day he looked around, he saw all these kids standing next to their parents, and he walked over and stood next to my leg, and he leaned against me like this. And, you know, man, my heart just broke because this little guy just wants love. He just wants, you know. And so, but anyway, it's just really touching when you can be a companion to someone like that doesn't have one, you know. I mean, he has his mom and stuff, but he hardly ever sees his dad. And now every time we line up, man, he's right next to me like this, you know. I put my arm around him and tell him to have a blessed day, and I'll see you later in the afternoon. But, you know, it's like, and that's what I liken it to. You know, we're to take hold of wisdom and not let go. Just, again, with our kids and teaching them how to live in this life. And, you know, you're always holding on to them in some way. Whether now, obviously, they're growing up and they're out of the house. But even as they get old enough to cross the street by themselves, you know, you're still take firm hold of them in a sense, in a spiritual way. You're still praying for them and watching over them and taking care of them. If that makes any sense to you, it kind of does to me. But anyway, but you're guiding them and protecting them from harm. And another instant I thought it was just like Jesus to Peter in Matthew 14 when he was about to go under. If you remember the narrative, it says that, you know, Peter saw Jesus and he goes, hey, can I come out on the water with you? And he, yeah, come on, let's go. And he did really great at first, and then he looked around, the waves were, you know, the wind was blowing, and he started to sink. And Peter cried out, Lord, save me! Exclamation point. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. That's what we have to do. We got to take hold of Jesus and not let go. Because you know what? He's not letting go of you. Who lets go? We do, not him. So take firm hold of instruction and don't let go. Keep her, for she is your life. This word keep means guard. Guard her. Guard this wisdom that God has given to us in his word. And wisdom is not only the means of progressing in life, right? It's life itself. That's how he describes wisdom here. What does he say? Keep her, for she is your life. People, we need God's wisdom every minute of the day. 7 days a week. All days of our life, we need this wisdom. And I praise God, he's given it to us. It's not like we're wandering around not knowing what to do. He's instructing us right here. As Solomon is crying out and showing his son, God's showing us. And we need to take hold of it and not let go. Verses 14 through 19, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. This is about avoiding temptation and sin. Avoid wickedness and evil. But let's read it. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. Very sad. Warren Wiersbe says this. Here Solomon is teaching separation from sin and evil. We as Christians cannot be isolated from the world because we must live with people and seek to win them to Christ. But we must not be infected by their sin or led into their ways. The old illustration is still good. It is fine for the boat to be in the water, but not for the water to be in the boat. I love that. I don't know. He quotes this and I'm going, wow, this is so cool. I love quotes like this. I'm going to read it. He puts down in his, he didn't even, it just says the old illustration is good. It is fine for the boat to be in the water, but not for the water to be in the boat. That is so true. I've been in a boat when water is coming in, and it's not a fun place to be. And let's keep your finger here. We're going to come right back, but I want to go to John chapter 17 real quick and read some verses. A lot of us are familiar with these, but again, it's always good to be reminded, as Peter tells us and as God told Moses in Deuteronomy to the nation of Israel, remind them or they'll forget, they will forget. I don't forget what verse, see, I forgot what verse it is, but it's in there. I read it, trust me. It says, remind these people because they're going to forget. Remind them of my statutes and my commandments. And if they do this, they'll get blessed. If they don't, they'll be cursed. Okay, I got it, you know. I won't forget. But they did, didn't they? John 17, verse 14 through 21. Let's read together. I have given them your word. Now, he's talking directly to the disciples right now, but you'll see the transition here. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Amen to that. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Amen? Okay. Now that was about the disciples. Now he's talking to us. That they what? All may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. We have to share that belief with others, that the world may believe that you sent me. We're a living epistle. We're the testimony of how God changed our life. But you can go back to Proverbs. But the main context of the scripture here is, God, don't take him out of the world, but just keep him from the evil one. And see, God does that. He will keep us from the evil one. And I like that. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And so back here in Proverbs, the Christian must be in the world, as we just read, when we know we're here. But the world must not get into the heart of the Christian. There are wicked people in this world just waiting to take advantage of foolish people who ignore the warnings of the Bible. And it's really sad because when you read verse 16 here, they're addicted to evil. That's an addiction. I'm sure every one of us could probably vouch that we were addicted to evil at one point in time in our life. But God has set us free. God has given us the understanding and wisdom of Christ and his work on the cross. That so whoever believeth in him will not perish but have eternal life. God's given us that knowledge, understanding, the wisdom to understand and apply it now to our life because we're saved. We're protected from the evil one. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. Believe that. But he is walking around like a roaring lion. You need to be watchful. Be sober-minded. I got to say this again. It's fine for the boat to be in the water, but not for the water to be in the boat. I love that. You can't let sin in our boat. Amen? In our lives, in our children's lives. Keep the sin out. Now you guys all have something you could share, see? Don't let that water in your boat. Okay, verses 20 through 27. Now we have the Father's continuation of instruction in righteousness. And guard your life, basically. And this is what I was only going to teach on right here, I think, but God had other plans. I started studying and just couldn't stop. Anyway, so let's read these verses together, and then we'll look at them. My son, give attention to my words. Why? Because we'll forget. He just told us in verse 1, but we've already maybe forgot. So here we're reminded again. My son, give attention to my words. Church, hear my words this morning. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Another powerful verse. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight forward and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Father's continuation of instruction and righteousness. Guard your life is what he's saying here in general. These verses right here gives us a personal inventory to see if we're living in obedience to the Lord. This is call it your personal inventory. And if you're not living in obedience, we need to heed these instructions, is what he's saying here. verses 20 and 21, in reference to the Father's word, God's word, the word that King David showed him, and now obviously he's showing us and God's showing us, we must use our ears to listen closely. Are you listening? The eyes to watch them closely and be determined in our hearts to do them. It's one thing to hear and see, but it ain't going to do any good. It's not going to do any good unless you apply them to your life. Keep them in your heart. To be determined in our hearts to do them. Verse 22, the words of wisdom are life and health. For life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The health that is promised here is all three: physical, emotional, and spiritual health. Physical health, emotional health, spiritual health. The whole person is what he's saying here. This is made possible because the scriptures bring deliverance from the evils that harm you and I, that harm and hinder our lives. Verse 23 says, keep your heart. Another word for this is guard. Guard your heart. That's what it means to keep it. Keep your heart above all else because it determines the kind of life you will have, and guard it with all diligence, with all carefulness is what that means. Be careful in how you guard your, be careful with it. You know how you're carrying around glass or china or something like that? You don't want to drop it and break it. You're careful. You're carrying that with all diligence. I know when we served the women's tea, you guys had all your tables all buffed out, right, and all the china. And I thought to myself, how are we going to, and then, no, you're not touching our china. You're going to bring it in plastic and set it on top of it because we don't want you breaking our china and our good dishes and silver. You know, I thought, good, I don't want to touch this, you know. Although I'm pretty careful, that don't matter. Once you say that, guess what's probably going to happen, right? Betty Jo, I broke one of your plates. I'm sorry. And she'll go, that's okay, Pastor Tony. It's all right. She would. And then tell me, no, she wouldn't do that either. But that's how you guard your heart, with being careful with it, diligence. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, face reveals face, so a man's heart reveals the man. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Another thing I thought of here is, this is obviously talking about our heart, our spiritual heart, not our physical heart, but just as there are many diseases and disorders that can affect our physical heart, right, like high blood pressure, hardening of the arteries, heart murmurs, et cetera. There's a lot of diseases and disorders that can affect our physical heart. Our spiritual heart is affected by sin, such as what? Anger, pride, temptation, just to name a few. James 1, 12 through 15 says this, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Powerful verses. These are the things that can affect our spiritual heart. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Don't let the water in your boat. He doesn't say that here. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we can't love the world and love the Father at the same time. It just does not work. I mean, we're blessed to have all kinds of nice things, the country we live in. the freedoms that we have. We're blessed, but we can't let the world get in our lives. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, what? Three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It covers all sin. Right there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The heart is the starting point of every activity of life, and it determines the course of it. It determines the course of it. So what does it say here? Guard it. Protect it with all diligence. Verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perversity that comes out. James has a whole chapter on the tongue. Guard your mouth, your lips. Whatever is in the heart will ultimately come out of the mouth. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. If you have an apple tree, it's not going to produce oranges, or vice versa. Brood of vipers, he says. Now he's talking to the Jewish leadership here. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Whoa. They didn't like that. We know. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. It's either one or the other. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. I love the way Jesus puts these verses. The Pharisees, Sadducees, all the leadership probably just went. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do everything you say impart grace to the person you're talking to? Ron says, yeah. I know. I saw you. I know. It's good. Now, I knew he was stretching because I'm with him so much that I know his little body movements. But we need to impart grace to those listening to us. Amen? And I'll be the first one to admit, that hasn't always happened with me. God help me, please. Let no corrupt communication come out of my mouth. Lord, forgive me. Verse 25. Guard your eyes. Another great quote by Warren Wiersbe says this: outlook determines outcome. Outlook determines outcome. Yeah. Psalm 101, verse 3, David says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. The writer of Psalm 119, 37 says this: turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Boy, I'll tell you, I've looked at a lot of worthless things in my life. And unfortunately, we still do. Well, I do. I'm sure I can include you. Irene's always going, what do you watch on TV? You know, I think I'm clicking, you know, because I channel surf like all the guys do. I love that. You know. And she'll see it for like 1 second. What are you watching? I go, you're in the kitchen. What, you're not, you know. She goes, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah, boy, okay, I only watched it for a second. God. She is my bride. I will embrace her like wisdom, though. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen? Yes. Okay. I don't know why that is. Is it a guy thing? Or it must be, huh? Come on, guys. Am I by myself here? Yes. No. Yes. Like, no. I ain't going there with you, bro. Yeah, see? George. Okay, me and George hang out. We'll go watch TV together. Anyway, on there, this is, if I remember anything Irene says, garbage in, garbage out. So, where was I? Let's see. Oh, okay. by myself. In the boat, but there's no water in it, okay? Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that is in chapter 11, those have already passed on by faith, with faith, the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. Those are the witnesses, it says here. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Guard your eyes. What are you looking at? Guard your path is the next one, 26. Actually, 26 and 27. Guard your path. The word ponder here, it says ponder the path of your feet here in the New King James. Means to weigh or to make level. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6 says, examine yourselves. Paul's saying, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Galatians 2:20, a lot of us know that verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And that's what Paul's saying here. Do you not know yourselves as Jesus Christ is in you? So where are you going? Who goes with you everywhere you go? Ponder your path. Pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus said in a couple of the Gospels. See, he was on his way to the cross. Pick up your cross and follow after me. The cross meant crucifixion to him, right? He was crucified. That's what the illustration of the cross is. It's crucifixion. It's death. Well, when Jesus died on that cross for our sins, we were crucified to that old life. When we gave our lives to him and our heart to him, and we believe in him and we have eternal life, that's why he says, pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up that cross is humility, it's surrender, it's commitment. It's dying to self, putting others before yourself. Crucifying the flesh, that's what it means. And you know, your cross, and I've said this before, it's not too heavy for you because he's not going to give any more than you can bear. We all carry our own cross, and some of us have some pretty heavy crosses, some a little lighter ones, but you know what? They fit your shoulders perfect. That cross was meant for you because you believe in Jesus. He says, I'm going to the cross. Follow. You want to go? Let's go. Oh, well, where are you going first? Can we? I'll meet you at... Meet you for coffee after the cross? No. You're going to follow me now. So remember that. It's important when he says, pick up your cross and follow me. We generically say, oh, it's our life now as a Christian. But it's more than that. Which way are you going? It's denying yourself, putting others first, crucifying the flesh, surrender, submission, transparency, humility. And there's a list of them. In closing, examine your walk with the Lord daily. Stay on that level path of God's word. That level path of your feet here. Walk in the instructions of His Word. Apply His wisdom to everything you do and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, my faith. He's saying, follow me. We learn today to get understanding. We learn today to get wisdom. It's yours for the taking. It's yours for the taking. You need to own it and apply it every day in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the study today. We thank you for your instruction to us, God. We just thank you how powerful your word is, God, to us. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, it hits us where we live. And we're just thankful, God, you have given us direction. You have given us the words of life. And Jesus, you said, come, pick up your cross and follow after me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Father, we just pray right now for that understanding. Every time we hear your word, every time we read your word, every time we do a devotion, every time we pray, every time we open the Bible, Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us that understanding and the knowledge of your word. Give us the wisdom we need for the issues of this life we live, to live godly in this ungodly world. And Lord, we keep the water out of our boat. We have to be in the world, but not of the world. Lord, keep us from the evil one. Keep our eyes fixed on you, our path fixed on you. We need to own this, and we need to have this application every day of our lives, Lord. Guide us and lead us into the truth, please, each and every day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.